This is the Prima Fetishista. You're listening to the Fetish Dynasty podcast.
Greetings, Kinksters. This is episode 4 of the Fetish Dynasty podcast. In this episode, we hear part 2 of my chat with Kink Engineering, and following that, a conversation with 3XL about his new ebook, Rubber Life. In episode 3, I began my conversation with newly crowned Miss Rubber World, Archean, and Mad Scientist from Kink Engineering. We covered a range of topics, including the growth of their business, the trials and tribulations therein, and the growing latex knockoff phenomenon. The last part of our conversation continues now. Thanks again to them both. So on a more personal note about fetish and stuff, how did you? What's your personal story about rubber fetish, Matt?
I didn't really know about my latex fetish until I saw Madonna's Human Nature video in 80 something. At which point I think my brain just exploded. I saw that and just thought, what the hell is going on here and why am I reacting to it in this way? And I think that was right around the time that I was going through puberty as well, and it was just that got all coupled and tied together, and that was that. And ever since the sort of second skin shiny fetish was really there. For me, it's a lot of it is visual, so I really enjoy latex on my partner. And then there's also I enjoy the sensation side of it. So that's why the vac bed is such a big thing for me. It's when someone else is using it, it's very visual, very fun to play with. And then on my side, I quite like the envelopment and sensory deprivation, and it's a full body hug sensation. So it's
absolutely
very hard to feel unloved when you're being touched from all directions. You know,
I hear you.
Yeah, and that also ties into a lot of trust and a lot of power exchange that is, you know, a really, you know, I really think everyone should take a trip into the fetish scene with their relationships, because you find out a lot more about how you work together as a couple when you start
absolutely
having to rely on each other to do these things and for safety and for all of this. So
yeah, so you saw the video, you discovered this part of you. How did that sort of manifest itself as you became a young adult? And did you find partners that were willing to do it, or was it a secret for a long time?
It was a long time coming to find partners who I was a bit of a late bloomer anyway. I was a real nerd in high school.
Join the club.
As well, as opposed to now, where I'm a nerd. It just, you know, once
you're a geek now.
Yeah, beyond a certain age, nerdiness just totally works.
Absolutely.
As long as you're still relatively good at dealing with people. I mean, there's a certain amount of, you know,
yeah,
you can't live in the Star Wars mentality all the time.
Nope.
But yeah, high school, you know, wasn't the most popular guy or anything like that. Didn't really have a lot of girlfriends, and certainly that wasn't going to be where I was going to explore that. But in the later years of university, there were some girlfriends that were a little bit more adventurous, and we explored a little bit, you know, a little bit of like saran wrap and throwing some plastic wrap down on the bed and a whole bunch of like lube and that kind of stuff. And that was really good to start opening that up. But it really wasn't until I got together with Marika where we really opened up. I think the relationship before Marika, I was going out with someone who was wonderful in every way, except that she was completely vanilla.
Yep.
And it just was my downfall. I realized that I had to make a decision to pursue that part of my sexuality, or I wasn't going to be happy.
That's a tough yeah. decision. I've made it before.
Yeah, and I also realized that it wasn't probably not a good idea to just seek out someone who had that fetish and that was great, because you also need to find a partnership, you know. Yeah. So I did see some signs early on in Marika, just from meeting her and knowing her and you know, looking at her Facebook profile, there was, you know, she wore a few, as she said, yeah, you're kind of a glam girl, kind of a, like, in right. high school. So she had some pictures of her in some various PC things and whatnot. And I was like, that kind of lines up. I think there's something there. There's a little check box that's getting checked off here.
Yeah. Matt actually knew that I was kinky before I knew that I was kinky.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we're good at noticing these things.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a lot of failed attempts at trying to bring that into relationships that led me to, you know, enter into the fetish side of the relationship a little bit more slowly and with more training wheels than before, gotcha. Which worked out. Until, of course, you know, her first latex experience was a vac bed, but...
Right.
Yeah.
And do you remember the first time she wore a cat suit?
Oh, yeah.
I do.
isn't that just... I mean, you can probably picture that moment even now.
Well,
I cried. I totally cried. I had never felt more sexy in my entire life. It was amazing. It's my trans black Libidex princess cut catsuit with the little boobies on it. And I put it on for the first time and looked at myself in the mirror and went, wow, I am gorgeous.
But I would like to bring up that we were planning to go to a fetish party that night, and we never made it out to the fetish party. Not for the reason of, oh my God, I have to get her pants off. For the reason that it took us so long to figure out how to put the damn cat suit on.
And no. I made the mistake of lubing up the bottom of the feet inside the cat suit as well. Oh. So as soon as I put it, like, put some heels on, I started sliding around in my heels.
Which were open-toed, so she was starting to ooze out the front of the open toes like one of those salute, like
like an overstuffed sausage?
Yeah.
Never lube the bottom of the feet.
Yeah.
No.
That's why you never put Armor-All in your steering wheel. It's just not a...
Yeah. We didn't, you know, it's really fun to look back at some of the early experiences we had and see how far we've come. And how much we've had to learn to make our fetishes make sense. I think people don't understand that as well, that you look at pornographic images and it's like, wow, that's hot. That girl's suspended and, you know, she's got a hook in her ass and that's just amazing. And then if you really understand how much setup there is to do that and how short a time period it is to do a scene like that and what it takes to make that scene for a photo, and what it takes to make that scene as a real scene are very different. Because I think a lot of people, especially with the internet, allowing people access to their fetishes before they have access to another person to share it with, we tend to get caught up in the extreme. There's a lot of people out there, I think, who, you know, want to try mummification right out of the gates with their first girlfriend, and it's just not...
Yikes.
Not a great idea.
Baby steps.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Marika, did you have any inkling about latex before you tried the vac bed? I mean, do you remember when you were younger seeing it and going, well, that's interesting? Or did you have any idea?
Not so much latex. I didn't know that latex existed until probably Maddie and I started dating. I was always a PVC person, and you know what? I probably just thought that latex was PVC because that's what I knew.
Yep.
But I actually spent my first ever paycheck on a pair of PVC pants when I was in high school. I was 15 years old, working under the table, and my first like $150 that I ever earned was those shiny black pants. And I wore them to school every day.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
That is so awesome.
I sort of toned it down a little bit because I went into engineering as well. And, you know, you kind of get the gothy glamminess beaten out of you a little bit in engineering. Yep. I still had a good deal of that. I think on my second date with Matt, I wore a little bondage skirt or something. And I was so clueless because I was wearing all of this clothing and I didn't really know even what bondage meant. I've always been a little bit naive sexually.
Look down, she's wearing a kilt and it's got D-rings all over it. And she says, like, oh, it's my bondage skirt. And I'm like, this is awesome.
Totally. I met the right girl.
Yeah.
Finally.
I was like, I was right. Oh, my God. But I don't, Marika didn't really she didn't know that side of herself. So
yeah, right. And
it's actually really enjoyable to introduce her to a lot of things.
And I had dated a lot of guys who were painfully vanilla, and I had sort of tried to test the waters, but they really weren't into it. So when I met Matt, I was really open to anything. Right. And he was just so positive and supportive and fun. And it was just hard to not fall in love with him and fall in love with kink all at the same time.
Great.
Yeah.
That's a great story. Yeah, I would have, if I'm just thinking back in high school, if there was a girl that was wearing PVC pants all the time, I don't know if my little, poor little teenager brain could have handled it.
Yeah.
I had PVC pants, corsets, purple hair, and a big furry pimp coat with like 8-inch platform shoes, and I'd walk around the halls like that. Oh, and little kitty ears.
Wow. We clearly went to different high schools. It was all about lumberjack jackets, and it was the big grunge scene out here.
Oh, yeah.
The opposite, the antithesis of shiny.
Marika's a little younger than us, though. So,
okay.
But yeah, I think when I first met Marika, I must have seen the aura of that former persona coming through, mm-hmm. just shining out. And I was like, there's something here.
It was that one photo on Facebook that I just randomly threw up, you know, and he saw it and went ding, and that was that.
So, how did you meet?
For the full story, we actually did a podcast on Dart's Domain, and Marika tells the full story. But the,
oh, cool. Okay.
The shortened version.
It's a really long story.
Yeah. The shortened version is I was in a musical, and she tried to slap my ass while I was on stage.
I was very drunk at the time, to be fair, which doesn't make me sound any better.
Cool. Okay. Well, yeah. We'll leave that to people's imaginations to fill in the blanks.
Yeah, there was sort of a long and bizarre romantic courtship that involved fake blood and PVC clothing and a little bit of Monty Python.
Yeah, typical, really.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty normal.
to make awesome. Sense of the fake blood, I was in a musical called Evil Dead the Musical, so.
Okay,
yeah,
gotcha. Well, that's okay. You don't have to justify anything. No. You know, let's.
Well, I don't want people to get the impression that you can bring out the fake blood horror scenes on the first date.
No,
it's definitely
it really depends.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, you recently threw a fetish party called Origin.
Yes.
So, what was the beginning of that? How did it go? Where was it? When was it? Tell me about that.
Well, that was an idea that we had at the Church Street Fetish Fair back in August. We were sipping drinks and talking about what makes a fetish party successful. And we said, you know what? Like, a successful fetish party is something that happens very infrequently, like once a year. And wouldn't it be cool if we had, like, a latex fetish party? And it seemed like a good idea at the time, and it was fantastic. It was really, really well received. We actually had it at a new dungeon space in Toronto called the Subspace Dungeon Studio. It's about, you know, 1500 square foot space nice. Out in the West End. That's just a dungeon space. There's not really a dance floor or anything. Like, it's just a play space. And we made the dress code latex mandatory. And if you didn't have latex, you had to buy latex at the door. We had little wristbands for sale.
Thank you.
And we had 5 vacuum bondage devices. We had 2 vac beds, 1 vac cube, 1 vac tower, and then sort of a volcano-shaped vac tower that we call the Pythagoras. And
we brought out all the prototypes that night.
Yeah.
And awesome. At quite a few points in the night, all 5 items were in use. It was insane.
Did you ever step back and just look at what you did and just go, my God?
I certainly did. Yeah.
Like, this is awesome.
It was really, actually, again, my favorite part of that night was we had some people email us in advance of the event and say, I've had this latex fetish for a long time, and I bought some stuff, but I've never gone out to a party, and I was thinking about coming out, but I don't know if I'll know anyone. And it was so almost sweet to be able to give these people their first introduction to going out and being part of a community like that. And we said like, come find us, you know, you know what we look like when you come to the door, find us, and we'll introduce you to some people. And, you know, we didn't spend all night with these people we didn't know, but we made sure when they showed up at the party. It wasn't huge. It was about, what, 80 people there?
Something like that. Yeah.
So that's a good number, though.
It was a good party. Yeah. And it filled the space very nicely. And, you know, we introduced them to some people and just got them talking to a few people and then left them on their own and checked in once in a while. But, you know, we've tried to make it a really friendly environment where there was no scene drama. And everyone was wearing latex, so no one could be embarrassed about wearing latex. You know, even if someone showed up at the door, you know, wearing all, we had one of our friends show up wearing nothing but leather, and we're like, I'm sorry, you have to buy a wristband. It's like, but you know, I have latex at home. Like, well, why didn't you wear it?
Why
like,
didn't you wear it?
I really wanted to wear this harness, and it's a long story. So here's the five bucks for the wristband, you know.
And what's really great. We actually incentivized everybody to do crazy things with latex in a couple ways. We had like 8 different prizes that we gave out for best outfits. And actually what we did with the best outfits was we made 4 different categories for best outfits, 2 for best female outfit, 2 for best male, but we did best store-bought and best homemade outfit. Cool. Because I've always found that you can't really compare the two, and we really wanted to reward people who, you know, made their own stuff. And we've had like the Latex Gonzo Award for the weirdest latex outfit,
which is won by Droidsy, who made a latex inflatable squid bustle with a deep sea diver headband. It really hurt my brain.
Dear Lord.
Yeah, it looked like an octopus was attacking her brain all night. It was spectacular.
I've had hangovers like that, actually.
But it was nice. It was great to really give back to the community and you know, help grow the Toronto latex community, which is becoming a really vibrant latex community now.
Absolutely. Sort of stealing the spotlight a little bit away from Montreal, where it's sort of mecca.
Well, we'll take it.
Hard to compete with Montreal because they really are a latex mecca. But we have a lot of the earmarks that make Montreal special. You know, we have quite a vibrant community of companies in Toronto now that are supplying the market. You know, having Polymorph in Montreal is what really helps build it. You know, this,
absolutely.
And now with Ego Assassin and us and Latex Eva, Latex Works. So there's at least 3 companies within Toronto, as well as a bunch of smaller entities that are springing into existence now. We're finding that the community is now growing around us, which is great.
Right. Well, behind any big, you know, party, there's usually a manufacturer or designer that's sort of behind it. You know, Polymorph in Montreal, Fetish Factory in Fort Lauderdale, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Although Vancouver appears to have quite a growing latex scene as well.
It's getting there.
We're working with a couple of companies out there that are growing quite nicely. That are buying rubber from us and doing some great work.
The parties here, it's almost to a point where there's enough people that actually own latex and can come out and actually make a decent party. I mean, it's a really long, slow, painful process. There's a lot of emphasis here on sort of goth and BDSM and that sort of thing. But as far as actual pure latex fetish fashion, it's still in its sort of infancy. So hopefully, you know.
Watch out, that can change pretty quickly. Because, I mean, Toronto was in that state maybe 3 years ago when we were getting started. We'd show up at a party wearing latex and people would be like, what is this magical material you're wearing? Yeah. What is that? And we're like, what do you mean? How can you not know what this is? I mean,
this old thing? Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you haven't worn latex, but it's pretty bizarre to have someone who's in a fetish scene not even know what it is. It kind of blew our brains.
Absolutely. So are you going to throw more parties?
Next year, yeah.
Yep. It was a lot of work. You know, in the end, I think from just selling tickets at the door, we did really well. We made, I think, $200, you know, after all the expenses. And on
it's
a
labor
per,
of love.
Yeah, and, you know, we figured it out per hour. It was something like 25 cents an hour, you know, so it was really good. But
what a party.
But what a party, yeah. No, yeah. And it was really good. It helped promote our business. And it was just amazing to bring all the people together, right? We were really happy to throw. It was like throwing a big house party, right? You don't do it for money. You do it out of love.
Yeah.
And so we've decided to do that once a year. The promoter of the space, Craig, who runs Subspace and Torture Garden, was like, "Oh, we should run this every month." And we're like, "Well, if we ran it every month, it wouldn't be as unique, and we'd die of exhaustion."
Yeah.
Well, you would get burnt out, and it's possible that the community would get a little burnt out too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
When sort of a special event. Yeah, it's better.
We'd rather do things right and do a little bit less of it. And I mean, that's our mentality with everything. We'd rather take our time and do things really, really well than spread ourselves too thin.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So what's in the future for Kink Engineering? What, are you just going to try to continue to grow and expand and just improve and get more efficient? And
well, right now we're gearing up for Mr. Rubber World in January. And we've got a strong team working on my Miss Rebel World performance. So that's kind of occupying most of our time. And then we want to, obviously we mentioned Rebelesque, so we want to start building that. And I'd like to see us go the way of doing more performance based stuff, doing some stage shows, but you know, obviously products first and everything like that. That would be my dream. If I could spend, you know, my days touring around the world doing latex stage shows, win.
You wouldn't be the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really think the next 6 months is going to be about developing new designs for us, just preceding our move into our new space, because as soon as we get into our larger space, we'll be able to produce it at higher capacity. So having a bigger inventory of things that people can drool over and get excited about is going to be really important. So I'm trying to stay ahead on orders right now and just really let the brain juices fly onto the graph paper and see what I can come up with. There's a lot of things that I've actually have half or three quarters design right now, because I'm always picking up the design tools and then putting them down to actually get something done in the workshop. You know, we've had people bugging us for sleep sacks for 2 years now, because I built a few early on and I wasn't entirely satisfied with the design that I put out. So I actually pulled them off the site because I wasn't entirely happy with it. I built a few as prototypes, got feedback from people and said, okay, I know what I need to do to fix them. And then I just have not had the time to get to them till now. So I'm reopening that can of worms, getting it to doing more hoods, doing some inflatables, looking at doing a little bit more. There's some really creative things down the road, but I don't really want to talk about them until I'm sure I can do them, right? So
absolutely.
And then we're going to be growing our inventory quite a bit as well. We're starting, like, the sheet latex side is starting to sell trim, which I'm really excited about.
Oh, yeah.
We're planning on getting a bunch of new colors in once we do our move in May, because our workshop is at capacity right now.
Right.
So, you know, just growth.
Well, you won't have to, you know, you can work on more than one thing at the same time without having to move this over here to get that in there, and then
that's exactly
rearrange
the problem.
Your house.
Totally.
Well, we hit a point where we needed enough inventory to run the sheeting and the fetish products companies. We needed, you know, a couple of kilometers of latex to have all the various colors in enough stock that we can build, you know, several vac beds out of each and sell stock to people. And that just ate up a lot of room in our current workshop. So we're moving to about a triple the space in May. So we're going to be able to hold a lot more stock, and we'll actually be bringing in a lot more tools of the trade at that point. We'll be bringing in like zippers and grommets and rings and D-rings and all that kind of peripheral stuff that you need to build stuff in our industry. We're trying to just gather that together so that people have a place where they can find it all. It's actually a lot of my time is spent going to dozens of different manufacturers of things and trying to get hold of all of the bits and pieces at a reasonable price.
Corset clasps and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So cool. Now, here we go with the URL list. Puke out all your websites here.
one's all yours.
Oh, we can try going back and forth. All right. www.kinkengineering.com is our website where we showcase our products for bondage and latex fetish.
Are we actually going back?
No, I'll just do them all. www.sheetlatex.com is where we sell latex sheeting in quantities as low as 1 yard of sheeting, as well as kits. We also sell bedding there as well. We sell fitted bed sheets, flat bed sheets, and pillowcases, that kind of thing. Very fun product.
Yep.
It's our personal favorite, actually. We've been playing with just our fitted bed sheet more than we have our vac bed lately because you can just lube that up and slide all over the place.
It's like having 5 people in bed with you.
Yeah.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Like multiply the number of people you have in bed by 2.5. That's what it feels like.
Awesome.
You can find the store that supports both of those sites at elasticaengineering.com. Either of those sites feed into them. So we have one store that actually supports all of our products. Those are two brand-specific stores. And you can find photos of all our stuff on those sites.
You can also purchase the Necronomicox on the Elastica Engineering store, which is our horror movie-inspired dildos company.
Yep, which are awesome.
Yeah. We don't actually make those ourselves. Those are some really good friends of ours who live in Toronto that I worked with back in my theater days. They're special effects artists. And they came up with the concept of doing horror movie-inspired dildos. And their ideas were so good, but they didn't know how to get it from their brain to the marketplace. And so they came to me and said, look, you've done this. How do we do it? And we kind of took them under our wing and help them get started. And man, are they making waves on the internet right now. Like
they're cool.
Memeing all over the place, which is lovely because it brings people into our store. And also it's lovely to see these artists actually making something really fun that people are really excited about. And they've got new stuff coming out Boxing Day. We'll have new stuff coming out for them and a sale on their stuff on the Elastica Engineering web store.
It has a high WTF factor.
It really is. If you haven't seen the Necronomicox, you really have to. Until you've seen a Cthulhu-based dildo, you really haven't lived.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. Awesome. Cool. Well, I'm going to stop it there, and I really thank you both for your time. I think it was a great conversation, and I wish you happy holidays and all the success in 2011.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you very much. Happy holidays to you. And thank you for having us on.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
You bet. Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Three XL is a European kinkster who created and continues to run the popular rubber fetish blog LustLoveLatex.com. He recently self-published a book called Rubber Life, which offers advice on, and I quote, how to live out the latex fetish lifestyle of your dreams. It is a great example of what can come about given the initiative and creativity of someone who is very passionate about the subject. I highly recommend the book if you are curious about the rubber lifestyle or your latex obsession and want advice and encouragement from someone who has paid his fetish dues, so to speak. I spoke with 3XL recently, and here's what we had to say. Welcome to the podcast. I trust all is well in your world.
Yes, everything is brilliant.
That's really good. You've had a busy year so far.
I did indeed. I have a lot of truth issue at the moment with the book release. That is true.
Mm-hmm. So before we talk about your book, talk to me about your blog, that lustlovelatex.com. How did you get started with that?
Well, I started my blog, it's about 9 years ago, I think, this year. And it was started as, like a process I needed to have somebody to talk to and tell about my coming out experience as being a fetishist that lived in a closet and was just hiding who I was. So I started to write some of my thoughts, what I was going through. And that kind of like brought me to robberies.net, and there I was talking to a lot of people, and then I just felt like I need some channel, and just started to write it up on a blogger service, and then my blog was born.
Right. Now, did you pick up advertising right away, or how long did that process take?
I think that took like half a year or something like that.
Right.
Before I made it commercial, but I think it was half a year, maybe even more, a year after when I got my own domain. It was not before that.
Right. Yeah, I've obviously been a follower for quite a while and subscribed to your RSS feeds. And if people don't know what they are, they should go out and find out, because they're really handy.
That's true.
So, totally. So what's been the most enjoyable part of doing your blog?
I think the thing that has been like a key to the community and a door opener,
mm-hmm.
For me personally, and that people, they feel they know me because they read my blog and they can relate to me, mm-hmm. and they know what I'm about. So it's pretty pretty nice that I can show up in a lot of places and people just come over and say, hi, I just read your blog and that was a good one, that one, one you wrote there, and that was really interesting. And they come and tell about themselves, and I can't say so much because they already know everything about me.
Right, yeah, there's no secrets anymore.
Oh, so... But that's always interesting. I really enjoy meeting other fetishists from around the world and
mm-hmm.
trying to relate to where they are in their life.
Right. Now, have you ever had a problem with sort of, because you show your face and you're not, you know, there's no secret about what you do. Have you ever had a problem with in the public life?
Never.
Never, yeah. Yeah, that's fortunate, I guess.
Yeah, think about that. I mean, I have 1,000 people on my blog every day.
Yeah.
And I have never, ever been recognized.
Yeah, isn't that
outside
something?
The sea.
Yeah, I mean, it's a kind of a sobering thought, too, for people that, you know, you're not necessarily... Our community is very... there's a lot of communication within it, but outside it, I don't think people even know it exists.
Exactly.
Which is kind of nice, you know?
It is. So. And also, I mean, yeah, they, with all those people, and I mean, I don't have links from sites that's not relevant to the outside scene. So it's just only people that are interesting that find their way to my blog.
Mm-hmm.
And they're interested in the subject, and therefore they... don't mind it at all, of course.
Right, totally. Now, if people have things they want to bring to your attention, can they just email you from your blog site?
Yeah, sure. They can, and a lot of people do, are always welcome to email me with news and stuff they see here. I have a lot of people that also send me report from events and stuff. I really like to post... stuff from other communities than my own, naturally. So, yeah. Gotcha. They're always welcome to send me some news.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, when did you meet Latex Kitty?
I think I met Latex Kitty at the start of 2007.
Okay.
We met at a party in Germany.
Right.
And it really clicked really fast. And... yeah, I was just out of my previous marriage, and it was just a dream come true right away. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it was just, I mean, when you meet in the scene, that is really special, I think, because
absolutely.
That was, I actually never told her that I was into latex.
Interesting. But just being in that environment, you know, there's a certain understanding.
It was pretty clear. We were both wearing latex as we met, so there was not even a discussion about that.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, that's really great. Yeah, I mean, you know, you and I don't know, we're probably around the same vintage. I'm not sure. But, you know, after a long time of relationships where there's just, it's the fetish is always like the main issue. Mm. It's so great to finally be with somebody that suddenly it's something fun. Like they actually look forward to it, enjoy it.
Ugh. Yeah, and you don't have to explain anything. You don't have to explain why. You don't have to justify it. You don't have to you can just be yourself.
Totally. And now she's Well, she's turned into, you know, a designer. She's making her. Did she do that before you met?
Yeah, she had been working for a couple of years before I met her as a latex designer for a latex vendor in Berlin.
Okay.
So she was doing her own catsuits and stuff like that when I met her.
Perfect.
So you're that just is like, very nice.
Yeah, totally. You're like, you know what? Me and you, we need to get together.
Yeah.
Let's go for coffee. Mm-hmm. Cool. So so obviously you're... Your rubber life has, you know, took a very nice turn, and which brings us to your book.
Yeah.
Rubber Life. So, which has just recently been released. When did it actually become available for sale?
It was actually on the 20th of January.
Okay, so 3 days ago.
Yeah.
During today. So why did you write the book?
Well, I was in the process of coming out when I started my blog, and I was talking to a lot of people, and I was going through a lot of issues I dealt with and trying to put that on my blog and talk about it, and I got a huge reaction from that because I found out that, as somebody also have a slogan, you are not alone with this. And so therefore, when I kind of like made it to and came out and was out in the scene, I think it was around 5 years ago, I had that idea that, you know, why is there not a book that you can just buy and get all these tips on how it is to go to the scene, what you need, and mm-hmm. what to wear, and where to find people. What is this latex fetish and what does it mean to me and how can I explain it to people around me and how do I realize it myself and come to terms with it? I just wish there was a book I could have just bought and purchased, and then it would have been much more easy to go about it. Mm-hmm. So I just thought, you know, that book doesn't exist, so why don't I write that and make that?
Yeah, that's really great.
And so the idea was just lying there for some years. I mean, you know, you always get some ideas and some of them you write up. And at some point you just go around and you just feel, okay, now is the right time to do that. And I just took it off the hard disk again and looked at it and I refined it and started working with it like 6 months ago. And then I ended up with this book. Almost 100 pages, so I'm very proud of the size of the book. I think it's something that I'm coming around in a lot of different areas that mm-hmm. people will find useful.
Right. Yeah, I quite enjoyed how easy it was to read. I really think the layout is quite favorable to, you know, casual reading, but it still has a lot of really great content.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah. And the photography, of course, is there are some really obvious examples of very talented people in it as well. So the eye candy aspect is good.
Yeah. I have naturally, through my blog and through my friendship with photographers, access to a lot of pictures. And they have been very gracefully lending me a lot of their great shot. So so that was I was really fortunate to have the cooperation of so many photographers for my book, and I really wanted to also make something that was visually because to me that is like 90% of the fetish, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now, for people who aren't familiar with the book, what kind of things do you talk about and topics do you cover?
Well, I first of all I talk about the relationship between the fetish latex and yourself, and where it's from, and how it turns you on, and you know, finding out what you're into, and giving you some words and some definitions that enable you to talk about it. And furthermore, I'm going into the latex wardrobe, what to buy first, and how you find the right size, and what is the difference between molded latex and glued latex, and everything you need to build your own latex wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
And also, of course, how to care for it, and how to dress up and clean it and store it, and everything around that. But furthermore, I'm what I think is like the biggest thing for me is the coming out thing, where I'm dealing with self-acceptance and how to tell others, and you know, how to come out for the first time and let other people know that this year you are into this and stuff like that. I mean, I can still remember the first time I went out. I was so nervous. I was just, I had so large butterflies in my stomach. Yeah. It was wild. I mean, and then compare that to today, where it's just like, it's just another day out, and there's nothing weird about it, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that I always was amazed by, because I would put on like latex pants or a shirt and go out to the just a regular club. You know, this is like 12 years ago, and I was surprised about how many people just didn't really seem to care. You know, they didn't even look at me really. They're just kind of like, that's weird, whatever. And then other people would want to come up and touch it, and got a few people that would just be like, you know, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So.
But mostly, you know, when you are walking in the street wearing latex and looking very shiny, I mean, they don't see it as you see it at any moment. I mean, it's only you who has the fetish. So they don't have that. They don't find it instantly erotic, right? It doesn't turn them on. It's just a visual thing. And they just say, oh, there's a guy. He's shiny.
Yeah, like what?
And that's just it. And they can just say, and or they can, worst case, they're going to say something or just look the other way or something like that. But
I mean, you know, we're fortunate as rubber fetishists that it's, you know, it's moderately sort of acceptable publicly. You know, if you just see someone walking around, like a guy walking around in a full on pantyhose suit, that would be, you know, there'd be few people who would really wonder what was going on. But because there's so much rubber and stuff in the media, and that's a little bit easier probably to come out.
Well, I think that people are getting more curious about it from that media exposure, but still, I mean, I don't think that it's going to be something that you see in the mainstream, like in the mainstream fashion store. I remember, was it when Topshop had some in London, I mean, it was just hanging there. I mean, because I was over there checking it out, and it was just hanging there. It they didn't buy it.
Yeah.
Because it's, I mean, latex requires a lot of the wear. I mean, you need to shine it, you need to powder it, you need to do all these kind of things that comes to the care, and you need to, afterwards, you need to treat it specially. And it's also different to wear than normal fabrics. So I think it's never really something that's going to be an everyday use item for anyone. Right. I don't think that's possible. I mean, leather is so much more comfortable compared to latex. So Yeah. That's why you see leather pants can be a mainstream things and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
not where we are.
I don't think that you're going to see that with latex pants at any moment. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I would love to see that, but you know, I mean, we can't have it all, right? We don't want it to become too popular.
do we want that? I mean,
exactly. So
sometimes I think, I mean, we should have been more fortunate and have like a jean fetish or something like that, you know, a dimming fetish.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Totally. Well, I'm quite pleased that there's sort of a recent thigh-high boots craze going on, which is quite enjoyable.
Oh, yeah.
So
then again, they need to enjoy it while they can, because, you know, it's just fashion. So that's change, and then it's going to come back in 20 years, something like that. Right?
But meanwhile, the hardcore will still be doing the same things.
That is true. Now, another side of the book is that I'm talking a lot about is the community and that what you can get from the community. And the scene here where I'm from in Denmark, Copenhagen, we had a very well-established scene compared to the size of our city and our country. So I think I was very fortunate when I came out that I actually had a fetish club that I could go to straight away.
Right.
And there was already a lot of people that was organized.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a lot of other people would have problems there, because if you are far out on the country and you're sitting there alone with yourself, it can be really an issue for many people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I remember sort of discovering all this stuff about, I would say about 17 years ago. And at the time, you know, I just sort of had an idea what turned me on, and I sat down at a computer for the first time and sort of discovered this thing called the World Wide Web. And one of the first things I searched for was, latex clothing. And I found this website which showed some pictures on it. And I still remember everything about that room. It was just etched in my memory like a brand. It was very, and I didn't, at the time, I had no idea where you even would begin, you know, to go find people who liked it. And it was years before I actually even met another person who had the same fetish. So, you know, I feel good about the people discovering it nowadays, especially with the internet. It's so much easier to realize that you're not alone. So,
yeah, but I mean, the online community is growing and growing and growing. Together with the technology, of course, the more technology that comes out in the hands of the people, and the more easier it becomes to create a blog or create a community or a bulletin board or whatever. I mean, with all the self-publishing and of weblogs, and it is so easy to make a website today.
Yeah.
I mean, like 10 years ago, forget it. I mean,
yep.
There was no such thing.
Totally. Yeah. And the websites back then were fairly simple too.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think today it's getting more and more important also that you kind of see that there is an online world and you can do a lot of things there. But in the end, you really need to get out and you need to meet other people and talk to them in person to kind of like reflect up against. Because you don't know if, even on FetLife, if they are real people.
True, yeah.
And and a lot of people have virtual personas where they live out a side of themselves, which is fine. But if you are in the process of coming out, it is something that's very hard to different and realize. So therefore, I mean, you can meet a lot of nice people online, but in the end, I still think that is very, very essential for a person coming out that you take that step and do it in real life.
Absolutely.
Because it's just not the same in the end.
No, I agree. So what do you hope people will enjoy the most about the book?
I think that it's a shortcut that will give them maybe like a way to another life if that is what they are seeking. Mm-hmm. And it will help them realize that they don't need to be afraid of who they are and mm-hmm. to be themselves. I mean,
yeah.
I think that is what the book is ultimate about. It's just about coming out and exploring and looking around and, you know, trying to put yourself in the world as who you really are.
Yeah.
To me, that was a big journey, and it took many years. I mean, I came out as I was 30, and I have knew that I was into latex since I was in my early teens.
Yep.
So I had so much guilt and so much
shame.
Shame, and it was terrible. I mean,
yeah.
I think I even managed to throw out my whole wardrobe 2 times before I kind of like acknowledge it, you know?
Yeah, wow.
I just I can't have this, and this is wrong, and this is not me. So I just took it all and threw it out.
Oh.
And then I started to buy new stuff, and then I got a new wardrobe, and then I threw that out too.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was just insane.
So you've been single-handedly keeping the latex garment industry in business.
Yeah, definitely. But it wasn't a big. It was like a couple of bags hidden away someplace, a dark place in our apartment. It was so. But in the end, I'm so happy that I took the steps that I needed to take to be able to come out and to embrace who I was and mm-hmm. What I needed in my life to become happy.
Yeah.
And I hope that a lot of other people would. Feel like my book can inspire or show them a way to obtain that and what they need to find out what they need to do to get to that point.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would do it again in an instant.
Yeah, so would I. There's just no other way. Once the genie's out of the bottle, I mean, you can't put it back in.
No.
You know, and it's so much more fun to just live it freely. I mean, you don't have to, you know, broadcast it to the whole world if you're into it, but just knowing that it's hardwired and there's literally nothing you can do to make it go away, so you might as well just embrace it because it's so much fun.
100%. And it's I think a lot of people think, is this a gift or is it a curse, right?
Yeah.
And I definitely see it as a gift, and it is so powerful if you can tap into your fetish and utilize that to bring you joy and pleasure and all these things in your life, and
mm-hmm.
and there's no shame in that.
Yeah, agreed.
Now, and I really go ahead.
Oh no, you go ahead.
I really can only advocate that. I mean, most of the time, the thing that is stopping people from reaching this is themselves.
Right.
And
yeah, clearly. Yeah. Now I'm interested to know why in this sort of age of digital delivery and stuff that you created an actual paper book. What made you want to go that route instead of just maybe publishing a PDF?
But it is a PDF. It's only as a PDF.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it's an ebook. So.
Okay. I thought it was actually a hardcover book.
No. I think there's a lot of people that would like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you could potentially offer, you know, a paper version if they wanted to sort of, you know, pay for the printing.
Exactly. I'm looking into that. They have some different offers on print on demand that I'm going to try mm-hmm. to look into.
Okay.
But in the end, you know, then I need to find 2 vendors because it needs to be in the States and in Europe. And so I'm going to see how I'm going to go about that. But at the moment, it's only out as an ebook.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I mean, it is really much more popular than I could ever have imagined.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear.
So I really had 3 really, really, really good days.
I bet. And it's just starting.
And it's just starting. And it's so amazing to see how it develops from here on. And I'm really looking forward to seeing some more reviews from people and getting some feedback, because you know you have been sitting for so many months with this just
working with this, and at some point, you know, just you just need some input, and you are so down in it that you kind of like feel like you can't see the forest for all the trees, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's nice to have the thing out and finally to get some feedback.
Absolutely. What when you were creating the book, what kind of challenges did you face? What was the most difficult part of putting it together?
Hmm.
Or did it just flow naturally?
I think it flowed mm-hmm. pretty nicely. I mean, I kind of like put it into different groups and different chapters where it was where I thought it was important to address some issues, and then at some point I also asked my readers on my blog, and they replied with a lot of questions they had, and mm-hmm. I just took those, and then I kind of like saw what was the most asked questions and try to make sure that all of those questions was answered in my book.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure that there's a lot to learn for people who has not been out of the closet and have a lot of those questions. They will find a lot of value in my book, that's for sure.
Gotcha. Do you think there'll be a Rubber Life Part 2?
I think so.
Yeah.
I hope so. I definitely hope so. And at the moment, I'm pretty sure about it.
Yeah.
But what's that going to be about? I really hope that a lot of people is going to tell me what they want to mm-hmm. know from mm-hmm. the what is beyond the rubber life. I mean, is it that they want to hear about more advanced play?
Right.
Or is it just to step it up to another level? How to...
Mm-hmm.
make your own clothing, or how to cut it. I mean, I'm open for suggestions, so people should just send me an email. Or I'm very game to hear what I should put in that book. I have some ideas myself, but it would be nice to hear that from other people too.
So maybe the first book is, you know, Rubber Life 101, and then the next one is like, you know, Rubber Life 300.
yeah.
Advanced topics.
yeah.
So if people are interested in finding out about the book or buying it, where can they find out about it?
They should head to rubberlife.com.
Okay. That's
and,
it.
And there they can click on a yellow button and buy the book, and it's delivered instantly as digital download.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. And your blog again is lustlovelatex.com.
That's right.
Okay. And now Latex Kitty has her own blog too, doesn't she?
Oh yeah, she has makinglatexclothing.com.
Right. I just have to say that that site has really helped me as I start to learn how to make my own garments. Her tutorial on making latex leggings was really great. I've actually made 4 or 5 pairs now.
So, really? Really? Yeah. Oh, you'll love to hear that.
Yeah, no, it's really, it's very well laid out and very descriptive. So I appreciate that she's doing that.
Yeah, but she had had so much response to mm-hmm. To that exactly post. I mean, I think it was one of the first that she really came out with. Mm-hmm. And it was really, she got so much attention. I think she got like 6,000 hits or something, 8,000 hits.
Wow.
2 days on that, because
holy
it's a fashion thing, and it just hit with the fashion latex leggings was up.
Right.
Not the real latex legging, but the spandex version of what it is. They were up in the fashion, and so therefore it just everybody just thought that was so interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's all kinds of tutorials on there too about, you know, making ruffles and making a shirt, and I think there's even like how to make a bow.
Yeah, she's trying to put some stuff up there. Both there's just some simple stuff and some mm-hmm. more. I'm sure you're gonna see more from her through time. And the blog will for sure grow to something very 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 a very powerful resource within mm-hmm. the latex scene. So
yeah, I'm sure it will.
So wonderful. That's yeah. But just to go back to the book, I mean, it's a pleasure to have a partner that's into this. And the last section in my book, the last chapter, is actually about how you find a partner right. and how you establish yourself online and how to describe what you're into. And there's mm-hmm. some really good tips for newcomers, how to build their own profile, how to find the right place where they can right. seek out and find partners. And I think that is, you know, like that thing that everybody, they just really want, right?
Yeah. And I like the little call out to one of the pages. The headline is, "Don't be creepy." Can creepy is weird with romantic intent. I love that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, I highly recommend it, and I think it's a great read, and I sure wish there was something like that when I was coming out, but I guess we all have our own journey to take, and I'm glad I'm living the rubber life as well. So,
yeah,
and I wish you all the very best of luck, and hope you sell millions of copies.
Oh, I hope that too.
Okay, well,
thank you. Then there's going to be a lot of more people in the scene, yeah. and then it's going to be much more fun.
Absolutely. And some of them will be because of you.
So yeah,
that's a good thought. So. Yeah. Great. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you very much to my guests for their time and energy. You rock. Hard. Just a note to finish off, the Prima Fetishista and I have purchased our first house, hooray, and we'll be moving in February, so I can't say when the next podcast will be released. I do look forward to continuing the show from the new Fetish Dynasty headquarters, however, and appreciate your support of this project. Until then, remember, the difference between a gift and a curse is merely your perception. Embrace your kink. It's not like you can make it go away. So long, you bunch of perverts.